Creativity is contagious. Pass it on in any way possible. Albert Einstein. Hi, creatives. So happy to have you tune into our second season of Bring Up Creativity. I'm your host, Daniela Bonche, a Toronto-based graphic designer and serial entrepreneur looking to spread awareness on pursuing your creative passions or endeavors, whether it be in business, a side hustle, or hobby, you name it. On today's episode of Bring Up Creativity, I am joined with Kate Rosenau. Kate is a business systems strategist and the owner of Work Well with Kate, where she gives women tools to streamline their businesses so they can be more profitable and less busy. In 2014, she founded Mavenly & Co., an educational platform for women looking to build a business on their own terms. During this time, she realized that the key to designing a sustainable, profitable business was well-built systems, and Work Well with Kate was born. She has worked with hundreds of women business owners across the country through group workshops, online trainings, and private coaching to equip them with the resources and mindset they need to build businesses that work for them rather than the other way around. Her insights and advice have also been featured in Forbes, Fortune, Real Simple, and Business Insider. Hi, Kate. How are you?
I'm doing well, Danielle. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. So happy to recording with you in this AM, and I hope you have your coffee or tea in hand. But I always love to start off each and every episode asking all of my guests what their go-to coffee and tea order is. So of course, I'm so curious to know what yours is too.
It's so funny you ask, because this morning I was scrolling TikTok, which is not the best morning habit, but I was, and I saw someone with a new coffee order that I had to try, and it's actually delicious, so I can read from the exact label. It's so complicated. People are going to judge me, but whatever. It's an iced triple espresso with blonde espresso, one pump of vanilla syrup, and oat milk, and it is to die for. It is delicious, so I highly recommend it.
That sounds delicious. Did you say triple espresso?
Yes, embarrassingly so. When I, now being a business owner and a mother, like triple espresso is like my minimum, which is so sad. My dad is also a heart doctor, so I'm sure he's going to listen and be like, that is obnoxious and not okay. But yes, triple espresso to get the morning going. I'm a morning person, so I'm like, get that energy early in the morning. Let's go. Let's get it done.
Well, you know what? I feel that. I love mornings and I need a coffee every morning. And my go-to involves espresso. I just feel like you do. I applaud people that can do a coffee where it's a bit watered down. But first thing in the morning, you do need that shot of energy. So I always gravitate towards espresso shots. And I love how you get it all done at once. Because what ends up happening with me is I just end up throwing them throughout the day. In hopes that like it'll help me with my afternoon or it'll help me with my 11 a.m. Time around, not early. So it's good that you actually, to be honest, get it all done at once.
Yeah, just, you know, efficiency's sake, get all that espresso in all at one time.
Exactly. Get right to it. And that's exactly what I'm about to do, to be honest with you, because I love what you do. And I feel like there's so much we could talk about in terms of what you do, because you help others pretty much for a living, which I absolutely love. And I feel like as entrepreneurs, we always have something to learn. So let's just start backwards in time a little bit. I just want to know like how you decided to pursue your own business to help other business owners run and automate their business. Like, where did it all start?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a big fan of practicing what you preach. So I think a lot of people think my first business was helping business owners, which it absolutely wasn't. And I think that would have been a mistake. I actually was a business owner who was struggling with these things myself before I kind of found the solution. So I started my first business now, I want to say 9 years ago. I'm really dating myself 9 years ago as a career coaching platform for young women. And I think like most people who start businesses, you're really in love with your idea. You're really in love with the service you're providing, but the whole running the business side of it is very new and pretty intimidating and overwhelming. And I think I was just really naive in thinking that like I could just, you know, like put on my little business suit and like get it done. And the truth was like, I didn't know anything about running a business, nothing about the financial side, the legal side, the operations, like all of it was so foreign to me. And so while our business became really successful and, you know, grew and grew and grew in all of the ways that you want your business to grow externally, internally, it was a dumpster fire. It was an absolute mess. I was working 16-hour days. I was stressed out beyond belief. And I just knew that as our business continued to be successful, I was going to continue to deteriorate personally and just not be able to keep up. And so I actually decided, like 2.5, 3 years into my business, I was like, I'm just actually going to take a break. Like, I can't run the business right now anymore. And I had to take a break, one, to just kind of like restore myself from burnout, but two, to figure out, like, how do people do this? Like, how do people run businesses and have personal lives? And so I met a lot of really great mentors. I started working with a couple of people who I really admired, not only their success, but also the amount of time they dedicated to themselves, their self-care, and, you know, their personal lives. And I started to realize, like, the one commonality between all of those people I admired was that they had systems in place that allowed their business to grow without taking more time from them, without sacrificing their personal lives, but also without sacrificing profit, which was really cool. And so I kind of became, you know, an ambassador for that way of doing business. And I realized just as many people were coming to me for, you know, the topic of my first business as they were for, like, wait, how did you figure out how to do this? How did you figure out how to run a business and still go on vacation or date my now husband long distance and, you know, do all these things that typically business owners that are working constantly don't have time to do. And so I realized that that was really my calling, was to help people figure out the thing it took me so long to figure out, which is, like, how do we run our businesses without letting them run us, especially for women who have other aspirations personally and professionally, if they want to be doing other things besides just working in their business. And so that really became the focus, but it was through my kind of own trial and error and mistakes that I realized, like, this is a need, because I was in that position where I had this great idea. I had a business that I knew would be successful if I could figure out how to run it.
Yeah. And thank you so much for opening up about the fact that you did experience everything that you're helping people with today, and that it came through running your own business. And I wholeheartedly agree with the fact that when you first start your business, you do feel a little anxious and on edge. And I want to say for at least the first couple of years, to be honest, you're still navigating the whole legal side. And that's so daunting, like you said. And even the finance aspect. I mean, I know we put so much focus into, like, creative entrepreneurs. And as a creative entrepreneur, I know my brain, and my brain seriously lacks in that department. So knowing when I started my business that I had to learn about that and teach myself that, or delegate that and outsource. First of all, let's just say in the beginning, though, that I didn't feel like I needed to invest in those types of services. So that was super stressful. And it's so interesting when you go through all of that as a first-time entrepreneur, and it's not the skill set that you're trying to offer. And there's so much that goes into a business. And when I would tell people, hey, I'm running a business because I want to live a life on my own terms, I went through, and I still even go through, phases of running my business where I realize I am overworking myself. I feel burnt out. I am stressed out. And then you have to do a complete analysis as to what's stressing you out and what's burning you out. Like, what are you doing? Where can you get more help? Do you need more help? And that takes a bit to even just sit down and determine, like, why is it that you're feeling this way? So yeah, there's a lot of things that go into it, especially when we want to have a personal life. Like, I love the fact that you said that you can go travel with your husband and enjoy that time for yourself. Guilt is something that even I feel with a trip coming up for myself, thinking, oh my goodness, why am I taking 3 weeks off from work? Like, that sounds absolutely absurd. Like, I should find time to work in that. I must. And that's not the truth. I you know, I shouldn't feel the guilt, but we do. Now, leading to this though, I know that there's probably a few signs that you experienced and that you see in other female entrepreneurs that kind of lead them, or may lead them, to burnout or procrastination with their business. When you see those signs, like, what are they in the beginning, or maybe in the midst of it, you can identify it?
Yeah, that's such a good question, because I think, if we're being honest, it's a little bit different for everyone. Like, I know some people, and even it's different in different seasons, right? Like, I think for that first year of my business, I don't know that I would have even enjoyed working less than 12 hours a day, because it was just a season where, like, I didn't have a boyfriend. I didn't have, you know, like, a family to take care of. Like, I was, had friends in my co-working space. And so that's the season of life I was in where it didn't feel like burnout, where if that was my schedule now, I would be like crying into my pillow every night. And so I think for all of us, it's like a feeling, you know, like you articulated that guilt or a feeling like I just don't have enough hours in the day. I think you start to feel that anxiety kind of creep up. I think it was like Steve Jobs who had some quote. It's like, if you wake up every day and you're like not excited about what you're doing, there's only so many days you can wake up and do that before you realize something has to change. I think the same goes for your business. I think you have to really be enjoying at least like 70% of it. There's always going to be a 30%, like you said, taxes or, you know, legal pieces or things that are required, but hopefully they're not the bulk of what you're doing. And if you're feeling like you're not enjoying the majority of your day, I think that's the time to really step back and say, like, what can we change here? Because I think the signs of burnout are really small and they just kind of gradually build on each other. And so it's recognizing that feeling of like, I'm not looking at my calendar and excited about what I'm doing, at least for half of the day. And when that seems to be a trend, I think that's when we really need to like explore how we can do things a little bit differently. And it's cool because, you know, some of my clients are definitely at the point of like burnout and exhaustion, couldn't imagine running their business another day the way they're doing it. Yeah. And then some are like, you know what, actually things are going pretty well, but I would like for them to be better. And so how can we do that? And so I think if you can be proactive about that early on and just say like, hey, I'm just not spending my time the way I want to be spending it, and I'm not seeing the return on investment that I want to be seeing, how can we change things around? I think that's the best time to do it before you burn out. But if you're burnt out, it's usually that feeling you have of like, I don't have enough hours in the day. I'm feeling really guilty constantly. Like I can't be present where I am, or I'm giving to too many people and don't have enough to give to myself or maybe a few others. And so it really is, you know, from the time I've spent with the business owners I work with, it's a little bit different for everyone. And it's even different in different seasons. And the best thing you can do is reflect and be proactive about setting up those systems when you start to feel that anxiety of like, I'm feeling guilty, I'm feeling overwhelmed, there's a you know, fearful side of if it continues, I'm not going to enjoy this. That's a great time to start reflecting on what could I be systematizing, outsourcing, delegating to make my time and my business more enjoyable.
You know, the thing I love about these conversations is that I realize, like, through any entrepreneur that I've talked to, we've all been there and we've all felt these feelings in relation to our business. And I don't think I know a single person, like, although we're pursuing our passions, I feel like that, yeah, you, like there's going to be a percentage where you don't really enjoy those tasks. And then for you to give a number saying like, hey, you should wake up at least 70% of the time and be happy with what you're doing and what you're providing. Like that's a really good way to envision how you need to analyze what it is that you don't want to be doing and finding a way to automate or delegate that. And it is a scary process in doing that. There was a point, and I don't even know if this is related, but there was a point before I wanted to admit that I needed to automate some of my services, or I needed to, or my responses, or outsource. I almost had, and I haven't even talked about this on the podcast yet, but it was almost like a sense of FOMO with my emails. And it was more so my emails. I was like, I need to respond to people ASAP so they know how much I care. And they know how much I care about what I'm providing for them the whole way through, which I still do to this day. But I felt like I needed to be on my emails 24/7 just to provide that high quality of a service. And that was, I think, one of my biggest downfalls and something that I've had to do with myself. And it is putting my phone on Do Not Disturb completely. In the evening, because otherwise I will actually catch myself wanting to do it still. And it's like, just something as simple as that helps me to realize you do need time for yourself, because if you don't have it, who's to say that service that you're calling luxury is going to be luxurious anymore when you are going to be chatting to them burnt out and probably like emotional at some point too, that it's like, oh my God, how do I not have a life for myself? Mm. And that was a fear of mine that I had to get over. I had to accept that I needed help, and I hated that as a perfectionist. So with that being said, how do you think entrepreneurs can get over that fear of maybe like simplifying their business while outsourcing and delegating?
Hey creatives, don't mind me interrupting our episode to share our latest affiliate information to help you save on one of the most versatile and creative programs of the century. Adobe Creative Cloud is offering 60% off all plans for students and teachers. Not only that, but you will also experience a free 30-day Adobe Stock trial. Click our code and link below to receive this promotion and save this year. Adobe Creative Cloud unleashes creativity for everyone so that anyone can make whatever they want, whenever they want.
The important thing to remember whenever we're talking about our businesses is that they are ours. We get to decide what they look like. And I think as long as you're being thoughtful about setting expectations and letting people know beforehand what it looks like to work with you, then it's totally fine to operate within your boundaries. I think the problem comes when you overcommit to things or you want to overdeliver, but it becomes, unmanageable. And so for me, the most important section of my proposal and agreements are my expectations. So I will respond within 48 business hours. So that means if you email me on a Friday, you might not hear back until Monday, but I've let you know that that is my way of communicating. And I think one thing that business owners forget often when they're trying to play the fire drill game in their inbox is a quote from Tim Ferriss that I love, which is email is everyone else's agenda for your time. There's nothing in your inbox that is something that's usually your idea that you're pushing forward. It's someone requesting something from you, wanting you to stop what you're working on in your business and do something for them. Even in a service-based business, if you're thinking about putting together a new program or putting together a new service or putting together a course or you're planning an event, your inbox is taking away from that time. It's someone asking you to stop the work that you're doing and do something for them, which is not a problem. It just needs to be regulated. And so for me, setting that expectation with my clients saying I promise you I will respond within XYZ amount of time. And if I can do it within the hour, great. And if not, I'm going to do it in the amount of time I said that I would do it. And so I think the enemy of, us having, self-care and time for ourselves is being boundaryless and not setting expectations. And so if we can really focus on that piece and see what do I want my relationships with my clients to be like, and how can I let them know ahead of time that that's what working with me looks like? I think that's really helpful. The example I love to give is that we never go to a dry cleaner at 3 a.m. and we're like, this is terrible service. They're not open and they're not taking my dry cleaning. It's no, they're a dry cleaner and they've set the expectations by putting their hours on the wall that you can come back at 9 a.m. Same thing with our businesses. Even though we have the ability to access email all the time, we can let people know when it's appropriate to contact us and when they can expect a response from us. So again, that expectation setting piece can be one of the most helpful systems and the least expensive and easiest to implement by just saying hey, this is when you can expect to hear back from me. Here's how I communicate with folks. And, I look forward to responding whenever it's the appropriate time, because most people, they get anxious when they don't hear back from you because they're not sure when they will. So if they don't get an email back in an hour, they're like, oh, well, did she get it? Did she not get it? Is she, on vacation? Is it going to be 2 weeks? And so that's when people start to follow up really regularly, or they get anxious about you not responding. So if you can be proactive and say hey, this is how I do business, this is what you can expect from me, we can mitigate a lot of that guilt or anxiety on both sides if we just let people know how we like to work with them.
And in doing that, do you think that the best way to tell somebody what they can expect communication wise, or your key promises or our mission, do you think it should be displayed on pretty much everything that we have publicly? So maybe our website and on Google, or through sending them a breakdown of what they can expect, like a proposal. What are the best ways to get these types of messages across?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I feel most accountable to the people paying me. So for for someone who is working with me by giving me money, and then I return a service to them, they will know my expectations and boundaries immediately and in a very thoughtful way. I'll repeat it on the phone when I have our discovery call. I'll send it in the proposal. I'll send it in our first onboarding email. I'll continue to remind them what those rules of engagement are. Now, if you're a random person reaching out to me on Instagram, you're probably not going to see in my bio my office hours. You're not going to see it on an Instagram post. It might take a little bit longer for me to respond, but you're a stranger to me. And so I think our expectations have to be a little bit different than if you were my best friend or a client of mine. And so I think putting it on your website is great. I think if you want to put your office hours in an autoresponder, I think that's great. But I have mine in my email signature. I say hey, I'll be responding within 2 business days. If it's urgent, you can reach out to my assistant, Madison. And then if it's not urgent, I'll be responding, in the timeframe that I suggested. But if you're emailing me cold, then you'll get a response within 48 hours. And hopefully that's enough because, you know, we haven't communicated before. And so I wouldn't paralyze yourself with thinking of like having to spam it everywhere on your website. I think if you can put it in places where people would naturally think to like find out your hours, yeah, that's great, like on a contact form or something. But I don't think you owe someone, you know, your hours on all of your social media accounts or like immediately on the first page of your website. Like, people will hopefully figure it out. And I think you owe it most to the people who are closest to you or investing in you in a higher level. And that even goes like, if you buy something for like $60 from me, you're going to figure out how to communicate with me. Like, I'm going to be very transparent about that. But if you're cold reaching out to me on Instagram and you don't hear back from me for 2 or 3 days, like, I think personally that's appropriate. And we can honor that boundary without feeling like I have to communicate with them because they may not know that I only respond within 48 hours or whatever it is. So I think being thoughtful and practical about it, but don't stress yourself out if it's not everywhere on every social media platform or online space.
Yeah. And those are great ways just to throw that out there for the people that are interested or are working with you currently. And I thank you for bringing up how we interact with our clients versus somebody that's just reaching out. And I'll be the first to admit, I don't check client inquiries as often on social media as I do if they were to come mm-hmm. through on email or my website. And of course, Instagram is an amazing platform, but my responses are even more delayed if someone reaches out to me on Instagram. And I don't know if the platform's doing the same thing for you, but sometimes they don't even notify you if an outside person who's not following you and you're not following them reaches out to inquire. So sometimes I'm like, oh my goodness, they were inquired like a week ago. That's not the best. But at the same time, I mean, I guess like there's different ways to inquire, but yeah, those communication times can take a little longer for me as well. And for myself, I mean, like I can fully relate to hitting that point where I, like I said, like where it was a FOMO, respond to this person immediately, but all of those are such great tips and ways to avoid falling into that frequently, at least mm-hmm. to avoid it and to be as transparent as possible so people know what to expect. And what you said about people are going to be anxious and awaiting your response if they don't know your set expectations and they don't know when you're working. And I make it a huge effort to let my clients know that when you can hear from me will be literally between 9 to 5. Now, it's not to say I might wrap up work that day, or I might start a little later, I might start a little earlier, but in terms of email responses, you can hear from me then, but it's 24 to 40 business hours, like you said. So yeah, mm-hmm. if before this long weekend that we just had, I'm pretty sure some of them had to wait like almost 4 days because of the time that I wanted to take off. And some work during weekends, mine know that I don't. And that's just mm-hmm. because I need that time off. And another trap that I talk to a lot of people about, and we're super open on this page, is that like hustle culture and feeling like we need to completely give 110% of ourselves to people all of the time, like our clients or inquiries. We feel like we need to work those endless hours to be deemed successful. So sometimes when I log into social media, it's like, I just worked 12 plus hours today. And how does that make you feel? And I feel super successful. And I'm like, well, I would feel drained. Mm-hmm. I've been there and I've done that. And it didn't feel satisfactory for me. It didn't feel like I was feeling successful. I just felt tired. I was mm-hmm. able to do it in the beginning a lot, but then like once you start working, you know, on your business and for clients, that's tiring, working more than 8 hours a day. But I know that sometimes in the beginning it happens. We don't have as many responsibilities in the beginning when we first start our business. What are your thoughts on that? Do you feel like in order to make more money, should we put in more time towards things, or should we find a way with our own schedule, with what works for us, that will make us feel more successful? What are your thoughts on hustle culture as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, I am actually a big fan of having what I call seasons of hustle, right? So like the way that I see hustle is like, being successful in business is going to take work. There are times yeah. where we have to put in above average work. It is unsustainable over the long term. And so even if we're starting out, like let's say you're listening and you've started a business recently, or you're thinking about starting a business, I think that's still a really important time to set expectations with clients, because when you do get busy, your clients aren't going to expect less from you. They're always going to want more. Yeah. Even, you know, me as a client, I want more from the people that are, you know, working with me. And like, I constantly am like, if someone were to come to me and say like, hey, like I'm available anytime and then come back and restrict hours, it feels like I'm losing something versus yes. it being, you know, appreciated that they're setting expectations. So even if you're in a season where you say like, I can work around the clock, I can work 16-hour days. Even if you're in that season, I would still set boundaries early and give yourself time to quote unquote hustle in other areas. Maybe you're hustling on your website or you're doing really great work on social media or you're, you know, doing something internally that's going to take you a lot of time, but still always set expectations with people, even if you can like surprise and delight them and go above and beyond. Because when you do start to get really busy, when you reach burnout, when you reach that critical mass where you say this is unsustainable, it is very hard to go back to clients and either try and, you know, double your prices or change your hours or yes. like do something that feels like you're taking away. So I tell people, even if you feel like you can give the world to your clients, that's totally okay. Set the expectation that you can, because that's going to become the reality eventually. And the truth is, even if you're like, I want to give everything to my clients, I want to give them the world, the truth is you can't, and they're probably not paying you enough to. So like, set those expectations, yeah, with yourself that like, no one is paying you enough to sacrifice your peace and your self-care and your feeling of ease in your life. There's just, to me, no amount of money that makes me feel comfortable if I can't just like emotionally be right with myself and feel peace. And so keep that in mind when you're agreeing to like how you're going to be working with folks, and let people know upfront how to treat you. People are going to treat you how you tell them to treat you. So if you're available, if you say like, you can contact me anytime, you know, I'm available by phone, you do this and that, you can't then come and complain that someone's texting you 10 times a day because you've set the expectation okay. Or if you're responding at 3 a.m. and they start emailing you at 3 a.m. to come and complain about the fact that they're responding to you at that time or expecting your response, we've set that expectation for them. So again, even if you're new, even if you feel like you could be, you know, the hustle horse who works, you know, 80 hours a day and you just find all this time and you can get a ton of things done, set the expectation that you can't and then surprise and delight people if you would like. But I guarantee you there's going to be a point where you start to resent that work because you've set unrealistic expectations with your clients that eventually need to change. So prepare for a time when you might be too busy to do the things that you're committing to now, because there's going to be a time where that happens. And we, as many of us do, hate disappointing our clients. And so we want to set ourselves up for success down the road of being able to like continue to give them really great service, even when our lives change a little bit.
Yeah. And saying no in business, like it can be hard, yeah. Especially when it's the first time you're doing it. Mm-hmm. I wrote a whole post about this early on this year, saying that 2021 was one of those years where I realized, I guess I'm like a people pleaser, and maybe a lot of entrepreneurs mm-hmm. are to an extent, right? Because yeah. I guess a lot of us either provide service, and then if it's a product, we want to please people with the products that we're providing. So for myself in 2021, due to myself being a people pleaser, it was one of those lessons where I realized that even if I said yes to a project and to their timeline, I wasn't doing anybody justice doing that, whether it be mm-hmm. me or them. And it was such a business lesson and life lesson, to be honest with you, too, because I realized, okay, if I'm saying yes to people in business, like who's to say I'm not doing this in my personal life as well? And so it's so true when you have to sit down and figure out if you are in a busier season of your business where you have to hustle on that program just a bit more, that you might need to not take on as much client work, or you, and maybe ask them if another timeline could work instead. If you really feel like it's a match between you and that ideal client or customer, if they were looking to invest in something and they needed a further breakdown or intensive about it, there's so many different ways I find that I've been able to learn how to communicate efficiently, so that they know why I'm booking ahead of time, why I'm booked up right now, so that they know what my clients experience when it's one-on-one time. And I want to provide that for them as well. So as much as I would want to get in the client, let's just say, you know, next week, it wouldn't do them and their business justice at all, because they wouldn't get that one-on-one time that they might want. Obviously, there's other people out there that might be able to provide that service sooner, but that wouldn't be the case with myself. So that's like so many things that you have to break down with somebody in the beginning. There's so many conversations and getting on calls in the beginning, should you want to be providing a service for that person. So yeah, there's so many different ways to navigate whether you want to be working a few hours because you're working on something behind the scenes on top of client work, or if you are in a great season and you can take it on and analyzing all of that, and that success isn't defined if you're working 16 hours right now or 8 hours. So that's such a very, very good piece of advice. And in terms of another piece of advice, because I feel like you're so insightful, Kate, like you're very, like, I don't even know how to explain it, like wise and comforting at the same time. So I feel like you are like almost in the perfect position to be helping other entrepreneurs in their journey as well. And that's why I say, like, whether you're just starting out and you are navigating the anxieties of just starting out and you realize you have to do the taxes and, you know, the legalities of things and registering and having all that fun time doing all of that, there's obviously a fun side to things. But what would you tell entrepreneurs who are struggling right now to balance their work and personal life at the same time, but they know they want to add more to their personal life?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the way that I, and truthfully, it happens to all of us. Like, there are times where even if we think things are going well, things start to creep up and we don't realize it. And there's always a time where we have to like stop and reflect and look at what we're doing and maybe change some things. Mm-hmm. And so the first thing I do is I put every task of mine on one sheet of paper, because I think sometimes we think we know what we're doing or we think we know what's taking up time, but we don't. Like, we subconsciously are focusing on like other things. Yes. And so if we can write down every single thing we're spending time on and then get really clear on like what is revenue generating, what is essential to run our business, and what's the best use of our time, we can start to make really great decisions with how we spend our time and what we say yes and no to. So the example I give a lot is like, you know, we have a lot of shoulds in business. So we'll see a webinar and someone's like, oh, you should be on Pinterest, or you should be on TikTok, or you should be going to networking events. And so we put these things on our to-do list and on our calendar, even if we don't know that they'll be revenue generating or they'll be worth our time in our business. And so that's how a lot of our businesses get cluttered with all these things that are taking up our time but aren't really contributing to the success of our business. Yeah. So it's important to look at that to-do list and say, hey, like, am I seeing an ROI from TikTok? Am I seeing an ROI from going to these monthly networking events? Am I seeing an ROI from, you know, doing whatever it is that someone said I should do to be successful in our business? And we kind of quickly realize like there's a lot that I'm doing that isn't contributing to the financial success of my business. And I can either get rid of it or find someone who can do it for me that has that zone of genius, that is the thing that they do really well. They can get it done really quickly because it's the thing that they're doing day in and day out. So I think a lot of people think they need like a full-time salary in order to have people help them. And at least in 2022, that is so not the case. You can find folks to help you with so many things for limited package price and hourly rate, and kind of dabble and see what it's like to have people support you in your work. So if you're looking for some more help, first thing you do is analyze how you're spending your time currently, and is it the best use of your time? If you're unsure of all of the things you're doing, which happens a lot with my clients, go back and look at the last 30 days of your calendar and just see what's been on there, or do a time audit by like tracking hour to hour what you're doing today. And you'll realize like, oh, I thought I was working an 8-hour day, but I was actually scrolling TikTok for 3 of them and then just answering some emails otherwise. And like, I'm actually not working as much as I think I'm working in those 3 hours scrolling TikTok, even though I think that's work related because I'm posting on there for my business account. I could be spending that time differently, maybe with like, you know, my family member or partner or friend, or just going for a walk. And so sometimes we're not being realistic about how we're spending our time. But if we are, we don't realize like, you know, oh, I could be paying someone $20 to deliver my groceries. That saves me an hour and a half of going to the grocery store. At least for me, I have a toddler. And so now going to the grocery store takes like a million hours. So paying someone to deliver my groceries is such a good use of my finances because I'm buying back time. Yeah. Like if my hourly rate is more than $20, I'm actually making money by having someone deliver my groceries. And so thinking of your time and your money that way, and thinking of paying people to help you as an investment and getting your time back, can be a really helpful way to get that time back in your life, kind of reclaim that time and make sure that your business continues to grow, but your personal life doesn't have to sacrifice to make that happen. And so that time audit and task audit is huge. And then looking at those quote unquote expenses as investments and kind of buying back your time.
Those are amazing, amazing tips. And it's a shift in mindset too, with the latter point that you had about really looking at if you need the help, it's an investment. It's not just an expense. Like, yes, we get to write it off as business owners and it's phenomenal. But at the same time, it's like beneficial for you, your mental health and your business. Although it looks scary to be putting more money into it and it looks like, oh my God, like I'm actually not making as much on paper. Like you said, go back and really look at the numbers and see, okay, so because I outsourced for this and they did a better job than me in doing this, because I'm no expert in this field that I was putting more time into that wasn't even making me that much money, they helped me make money in that time frame that I did spend that extra, you know, few dollars on just to get that done. And I love that you're getting people to do your groceries. That's amazing and an absolute goal. So I absolutely love that for you. And I thank you so much for the expertise that you've brought to this episode, the chat, the coffee recommendation. I'm definitely trying it out. So thank you so much for bringing this all to the table for us to talk about today. But before everything else, I just wanted to ask you if there's any upcoming projects that people can look out for, and where can everybody find you online?
Yeah, absolutely. So pretty much everywhere online, whether it's social or my website, it's Workwell with Kate. So it's workwellwithkate.com. And then my handle on everything is at Workwell with Kate. And this is the type of stuff I do for clients and in my programs all the time. So I usually have, you know, different programs based on your level. So it depends on kind of where you are at your business. But on my website, you can see different ways to work with me or even just grab some of my templates to implement and make your life a little bit easier without having to invest in some one-on-one time. So my website always has kind of the latest and greatest of what I'm working on. So again, that's workwellwithkate.com. And thank you so much for giving me a chance to talk about the thing that I love the most in work and business.
And you're phenomenal at what you do. And I just want to say that all of those handles will be below in the show notes. And I will be checking it all out myself too. I'm always looking to help with my own mental state and running my business and in my personal life. And through talking to you, it's refreshing and it's such a great way to start the day. So thank you so much, Kate.
Yeah, thank you. This was awesome. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for tuning into today's episode. We're always brewing up something new for all of you to tune into and love hearing from you. Our team over here on Brewing Up Creativity would love it if you joined our community in any capacity. Whether it be checking us out on Instagram at Bring Up Creativity or leaving a review to help us better serve you as listeners. If you're looking to join or sponsor an episode, reach out to us through email, which is linked in our episode's show notes below. Thanks, creatives.